of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, thank you for today, for your many blessings. Lord, we lift up all those that are sick, all those that are hurting this morning, that your healing hand would come upon them. Lord, those that are traveling today, that you'd watch over them, that you'd protect them. And Father, I pray for a special anointing this morning, that we would be attentive to what you have to say. Lord, that it wouldn't be me speaking, but it would be you speaking through me. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today's message is being a good steward, and I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians 4 and just read 1 and 2, and then if you guys want to go to John chapter 21 is where we'll really pick up. But I've been thinking a lot about what being a good steward is. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." I was thinking about that, must prove faithful. And so I was thinking, how many of y'all trust me? You guys trust me? And I was thinking about that, and I was like, how many of you trust me enough to loan me some money? How many of y'all trust me enough to maybe loan me your tools? Well, some of y'all has already done that. How many of y'all trust me enough to loan me your tractor, Mike? Yeah, Mike loaned me his tractor before. I'm going to need it again before long. That's why I said that, you know. I was thinking about that, and I thought about Casey. Casey trusts me enough that he left his side-by-side at my house with the keys for like 2 months. And he said, take it whenever you want it. That's nice. You know, that's good that you guys trust me with that. And as I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking, but you guys that know me know that if I borrow something of yours, I'm going to treat it better if it was my own. Because I value y'all's stuff more than I even value my own. One time my brother loaned me his side-by-side, and I took it up the mountain and rode around. And it was dirty when I got it. Got back, I washed it, I cleaned it, and made it look better than I even received it. And he said, Pete, you didn't have to do all that. I don't care. And I know he doesn't care, but I cared. Because I wanted to return what I'd borrowed in better shape than what I got it. Now, how many of y'all have ever borrowed something and broke it? I've done that too. And man, you feel terrible. And I've broke stuff before and had to go buy new to replace it. Because they trusted me with it, so I want to take special care of it. And as I was thinking about borrowing stuff and using stuff, and I thought, you know, I honor those people that let me use their things, and I'm careful with it. But do I honor God for all that He's entrusted me with? And have I proven faithful with what He's given to me? I mean, think about it. John 21:15 says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.'" You notice that "my" there? Feed my lambs. Not yours. Feed mine. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." My sheep. Not your sheep. My sheep. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I heard a preacher talking about that, and I guess I hadn't thought about how that my plays such a significant role. And I was thinking about all that God has blessed me with in my life. It really belongs to Him. You guys belong to Him. This isn't my church. This is God's church. That husband you got, that wife you got, those kids you got, those parents you got, that job you have, if you really break it down, it all belongs to the Lord. Do we treat things with love and respect and care as much as if I borrow Mike's tractor or Casey's side by side or one of y'all's chainsaws or whatever? I'm careful with it. I want to make sure that I don't break it, that I don't tear it up. See, the thing is when I had a four wheeler and I would explore. It didn't matter to me. I'd take off and go up a trail just to figure it out. And if something got broke, oh well, it was mine. But when I was on Casey's side by side, when I was on my brother's side by side, and I seen certain trails, and I thought, man, I sure would like to go up those. But I don't know what's down on. So I'm not going to take the chance of tearing their stuff up. And I was so thinking about how I value other people's things, but do I value in the same way all that God has given me? All that God has entrusted me with? Do I treat it with that much care, with that much respect? Jesus is telling Peter, he says, feed my sheep. Take care of my things. And when we really begin to think about it, everything that we have belongs to God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So whatever gifts you have received, he says, you've received it to serve others. When you begin to think about what you have in that way, doesn't it make a difference? It does for me. That what I have is really not my own. What I have has been a gift given to me from God so that I should use it to faithfully minister to others. And it says His grace in its various forms. So I was thinking about that because you guys might be thinking, I've been giving you all these examples of material things, but it's really not about material things. I mean, it can be, but it's about the gifts that God's given you. Some of you have so much intellect. Some of you are so smart, way smarter than I am. Do you use that for yourself? Do you use that to have a better job, to make more money, to gather all this information? None of that's bad, but it all needs to be done in the context of glorifying God. See, some of you can explain things in the Bible way better than me. Some of you may know the Bible, well, not may. Some of y'all know the Bible better than me. Are you using it as a gift from God to advance the kingdom of God? Some of you, you're so giving. You have a gift of giving. I've been hearing some phenomenal messages, some of the best messages I've ever heard about giving. And I really hadn't planned on sharing this. I don't even know if I'm really supposed to. I'll just make it really, really quick. This preacher said that God told him, I'm going to cause you to be a giver. And I want you to give every time I tell you to give. And he was saying that he was an evangelist. And he didn't ever require any money or anything like that. He just showed up, and whatever he got, he knew God would take care of him. This is kind of a long story. So he goes to this church. The church, he says, what do you require? He says, nothing. I'm just coming. And it was the only church that he had for that entire month. And he had one staff member and himself. And anyway, they end up taking up this huge offering for him that would provide for his entire month worth of finances. And he was just praising God. And he said it wasn't one of those offerings that's rounded. He said it was one of those offerings that's dollars and cents, you know, the exact amount. And he said that after he was done and received the message, said there was this missionary that had given just a report right before he'd got up to preach. And he said, the Lord said, give that check to him. And he was like, he said, he thought, this ain't God. No, this takes care of my whole month's finances. God, what are you doing? You know, and he said he just felt so impressed that he was supposed to give that check to that man. So he signed the check, he folded it up, and he walked over to the missionary and he said, God told me to give this to you, but it was under two conditions. Number one is you tell nobody that I gave this to you. And I can't remember what he said the second condition was. They went out to eat pizza afterwards. Long story, this man said, how much did the church take up for you? And he was like, kind of like, what's this guy asking me how much the church took up for me? And he really didn't answer him. And he said, well, can I see the check? And he's like, and he said that he'd already made a deal that he wasn't going to tell anybody. And so he's like, well, my wife has it. And the guy's like, we'll go get it. And so he's like, so he walks down and says something to his wife. And he said, I didn't want to lie. I really didn't. And he said he sat back down. And long story short, the guy finally said, you gave that check to the missionary, didn't you? And he said, did you see me? He said, no. He said, the Lord told me before service tonight what you were going to do and to write you a check for this amount. And he said, no lie. He said, when he opened up the check from that man, it was 10 times the amount down to the penny, dollars and cents, exactly 10 times the amount of the offering taken up that night for him. And he said, God was saying, if you will just learn to trust me and give. Some of y'all have that gift of giving. I don't. Maybe God's going to bring it on me, you know. Some of y'all have a gift of kindness. You see things and you know how to take care of people. You know that people need a hug. You know people need a phone call. Some of you have the abilities to fix things, to repair things, to fix small engines or to repair sheetrock or whatever. All of you have different gifts. All of you have different gifts. And are we faithfully using it to advance the kingdom of God? See, that's what it's about. Are you willing to give of your time, of your talents, of your abilities, of your finances, if God asks? Are you willing to give? Because everything that we have has been entrusted to us by God. John 6. John 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not be enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Can I tell y'all something? I believe there's people here this morning that are in that attitude. What can I give? I have just a little bit. What difference can I make? I'm not smart. I'm not wealthy. What difference can I really make? And we're living in that attitude of I just have this little bit here. I really can't help the kingdom of God. Is God even looking down? Is God even listening to me? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. And the man sat down. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. They just counted the men. So you figure their wife and their children and they usually have big families back then. You're looking at 20, maybe 30,000 people. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciple, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Can I tell y'all something? That when we give our little bit to Jesus, he can do so much more than we can imagine. He can take your little bit of kindness, your little bit of intelligence, your little bit of whatever ability it is, and do way more than you can ever imagine through His power, through His grace, through His mercy. I wonder how many of us are sitting back going, "Well, what I have, it ain't enough. I don't have enough confidence to even hold my hand out and give it. I'm so scared. What if God requires this and what if God requires that?" But anything God requires of you, His Holy Spirit is there to help you through it. You think about that story that I just told about that pastor. His whole month, that was the only meeting he had. God said, "Give." And God provided. Some of you might say, "Well, Pete, I've tried that before, and it felt like God didn't provide." I can't explain it. Sometimes I think we go through trials. Sometimes we go through testing to learn to trust God even more. But church, when we trust God, He's there. He's there. And we don't trust Him to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to give you this ability so you multiply it." No, we trust God so that we give Him our ability and then He can use it however He wants, however He wills, or whatever. And the one thing that really gets me here is they gathered up the pieces of the leftovers. See, there was nothing wasted. So, can I tell you something? You're not a waste. You're not a waste this morning. Maybe some of you can't sing. Maybe some of you can't play a musical instrument. Maybe some of you are so shy and bashful, if you got in front of people, you would shake and your voice would quiver and you couldn't speak. Maybe some of you is not good readers. Maybe some of you, I don't know, but whatever God has given to you, it's because God wants you to use it for His glory, for His honor, that each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace into His various forms. See, not everybody can be a doctor, not everybody can be a lawyer, not everybody can be a mechanic, not everybody can be a truck driver, but God has placed us all in different places in our life. To show God's love, to show God's mercy, to show God's grace. He gathered up all the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. And you are not an accident today. Nothing has been wasted upon you. So whatever you have, whether it's little or whether it's much, God wants it used. And I look back at this story in Matthew 14, and this is the same story. But see, the backstory to this is John the Baptist had just died. And in Matthew it describes it and it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. What was Jesus doing? He was hurting. He wanted to get away. He wanted to get away for a minute and pray and maybe cry and weep. But the crowds followed. And yet He still had compassion on them. And can I tell y'all something? That sometimes it's you're in difficult times and you may not feel like giving. Sometimes you might be going through something in your life. Maybe there's trouble at home. There's trouble with your kids. There's trouble in your marriage. There's sickness. There's something going on. You've just lost someone and there's hurt and there's pain and there's aching. I forget sometimes where I preach what, but funeral last weekend, I think, that I preached. I think it was last weekend that I talked about Jesus weeping. Jesus wept. And I believe three different accounts that it talks about Jesus weeping. Don't hold me to that, but I think there was three different accounts that Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because he felt he had compassion. And y'all, sometimes we're trying to get alone and we're just trying to weep. We're spent. This week, I had a kind of a cool experience, and I told the men about it Wednesday night, and I challenged all them to do it, but I don't know if they did. But I just I was doing the audio Bible in a year, and I was at the end of it this week, and in Revelation when it talks about around the throne and everybody crying out hallelujah. I don't say hallelujah very much, do you guys? I mean, and I just started saying hallelujah. I'm not a shouter. I'm really not. And I just started shouting it in my car by myself, hallelujah. And a joy come over me like I hadn't experienced in forever. And I just kept shouting. And I thought, if anybody seen me, they'd think, this guy's crazy. But I just kept shouting, hallelujah! I'm not a shouter. And the joy that come over me. But then the rest of the week was horrible. I could feel Satan's attack so much in my life. Friday night, Crystal's like, what is wrong with you? I can tell something's not right. And I told her. And I said, it seems like every time I feel like I'm getting closer to God, Satan hits me. Satan hits me and reminded me of past mistakes, reminded me of things that I wish I could change. Satan hits me with temptation. Satan hits me. And every time I feel like, okay, I'm finally getting there, here comes Satan. Jesus was hurting. And he withdrew. Yet he had compassion and he used what God had given him to heal the sick, to feed thousands and thousands of people with just a little bit. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take what God has given you and give it to Him and be a good steward? You might not be a preacher. You might not be a musician. You might not be a singer, but you have an ability God has blessed you with of some kind. John 3:27, John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. So see, everything that we have has been given to us from heaven. That particular spot, I believe, is when the disciples were leaving and beginning to follow Jesus. And I believe that that's the area where John says, he must increase and I must decrease. But he says a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You know how much comfort I've found in that verse over the years when we've watched our church go woo, 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 up and down. And, you know, like I was sharing with y'all earlier, if you put it pen to paper, how many people come to this church, and it blew my mind. How many people call this their church, but then do we always see them? Are they always here? But God's blessing us with an increase. But then, who knows what happens next month, next year? But we can only have what God has given us. And I believe that that's in the people that He surrounds us in. I believe that's the church that He's blessed us with. And I believe that that's the opportunities that He gives us to use our gifts in its various forms. See, everything that we have, from our abilities to our wealth to the influences in our life, is given to us from God. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." When you really begin to think, you know, we hear that verse at funerals. We've heard that verse a lot. "For we have brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." But how many of us really believe that? You say, "Of course I believe that." Do you? Or are you holding on to stuff so tightly because you think it's yours? You think it belongs to you. Now, God has given us things in our life that we are stewards over, but do they really belong to us? Even that property that you live on, someday when you're dead and gone, well, yeah, it might go to a family member, it might go to kids, it might go up for auction. But one thing about it, you're not taking it with you. That vehicle, that bank account, it's not going with you. And I was thinking about this, I was thinking, and I know most of y'all don't watch football. I don't really watch football anymore either, but Tom Brady, greatest quarterback to ever live, he threw his 600th touchdown last Sunday. No quarterback in history has ever thrown that many touchdowns. And do you know what the receiver did when he caught the football? They said automatically that football is worth about $500,000. And this receiver saw a guy in the stands wearing a jersey that was his jersey, you know, the receiver's jersey. And he runs over and jumps up in the stands and hands that guy that football and runs back to the sideline, not knowing what he had just done. So this man received this football from this receiver, the 600th touchdown, $500,000 he has just handed to him. And then security comes and starts talking to that man. And they're showing it on camera. I just seen the highlights of this man talking. And then you see that man hand that football back. Now, was that football his? Well, the receiver had given it to him. That football was probably maybe $20, $30, $40 to buy. But because it had just accomplished something that had never been done in history, the value of it went up. It was handed to this man, and it was in his possession for a moment. But did he really own it? No. It was handed to him. It was given to him. And then he gave it back. God, really, that's the way our lives are. God has given us something. Some of you, maybe you got a life valued at $500,000 like that football. Maybe you got a life valued at $1 million like that. Maybe you got a life that's valued at about 10 bucks is what you got in the bank and you owe on everything. But you know what? It's just given to you for a moment. And before long, it's going to be taken back. Are you being a good steward with what God has trusted you with? Are you being a good steward with your abilities, with your time, with everything that God has given you? For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out. Luke 16:10 and through 12 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" Can God trust you today? Can God trust you today? Can God trust you with things that really matter? You say, well, let Him give me something and I'll see. No, He's already given you something. Your ability, your time, your smarts, your kindness, your generosity. God has already trusted you with so much. Have we been good stewards and given it to Him? Last verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You go back to what I was first talking about. If I'm driving Mike's tractor, if I'm using Casey's side by side, if I'm using Mark's lawnmower, I use Mark's lawnmower a lot. If I'm whatever it is that I'm given, I'm going to be careful. And if I break it, if I mess it up, I'm going to do my best to fix it. But I'm not going to abuse it. I'm going to be more careful because I know that someone else paid. Does that make sense? Someone else paid for it, so I'm going to be extra careful. Well, here it says, you were bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid for you and me and our sins on that cross. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't easy. But He paid the price so that we could have forgiveness. Are we going to value it and live our lives carefully now, being good stewards of the gift that we've been given? Does that make sense? End with this story, and you guys have heard it before, but we did a thing here years ago for teenagers called Saturday Night Fever or something like that. And we would sell drinks and nachos, and the kids, we'd open up the gym and they'd come back here and play and do whatever. And at the end of the night, we would clean up and I'd pick up empty Coke cans and empty nacho trays and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of us did it. A lot of us helped, and we'd clean it all up. And then we had a lock-in. And we didn't charge for anything. Everything was free. And I was finding full Cokes, full bottles of water, half-eaten nachos all over the place. I dumped out probably a case of drinks that night that had just had a little bit. Why? Because it was given to them. But those nights that they had to pay, they drank it all. They were careful with it. But when they thought it was free, they didn't value it anymore. Y'all, Jesus paid the price, but it did cost so much. Let's not treat it as, oh, that's just something. Yeah, I'm getting to go to heaven. No, He paid a great price for you and for me and for our life and for our abilities to further His kingdom. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You for what You're doing. And Lord Jesus, I know nothing can be done outside of Your will and Your Holy Spirit. So I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would be doing a work in every life in this room. Lord, I know there's things in my life that need to change. And I believe there's things in everyone in here's life that needs to change, that we might become better stewards of the time that You've given us, of our abilities, of our finances. Lord, that there's things in each and every one of our lives that we need to consider was bought and paid for by Your blood, and that we would not take advantage of it, but we would be so careful. Lord, thank You for all that You've trusted us with. Thank You for this church and this church building. Thank You for the abilities that You've given to each and every one of us. And may we honor You with our abilities. May we honor You with our lives. And if we haven't been doing it, may we ask for forgiveness right now, repent of it, and may we be like that young boy, willing to give even the little bit we have unto You, Lord. Lord, if we feel like we haven't been serving, we feel like that we haven't been given to You, may You open up opportunities for each and every one of us to serve You in some way, at work, at Walmart, here at the church, wherever it is, that we would be good stewards of what You've given us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hide me now under Your wings. Cover me within Your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with You above the storm. Father, You are King over the flood. I will be still and know You are God. I rest my soul in Christ alone. Know His power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with You above the storm. Father, You are King over the flood. I will be still, know You are God. Yes, I will be still, know You are God.
Now, this ain't a message for telling everybody, go get busy this week. But it is a message to just think, God, am I serving You? With my little or my much, God, am I serving You? God, am I being a good steward? You know the place that I am lacking? I get to confess all the time. Where I'm lacking the most is probably time. Giving God more of my time. I get sidetracked. I get lazy. Lazy's probably the biggest thing. Time's a precious gift. We're all given the same amount in each and every day. Are we honoring God with our time, with our abilities, with our talents? Don't go start getting busy, but just say, God, what would You have me do? Today, tomorrow, the next day, maybe He wants you to spend some time alone with Him, sitting and praying. You do it for 5 minutes, do it for 10 minutes. I don't know. Maybe He does want you to go and start ministering somewhere, visiting a nursing home. I don't know, but ask Him to open up the doors. Because I get to feeling conviction sometimes when I hear all other people's doing. But I don't need to just get busy to get busy. I need to do where God gives me the opportunity and do it. Does that make sense? When God opens up the door, do it. Some of y'all, you've had an open door standing in front of you for quite a while and you just hadn't walked through. I pray that after today, you would ask the Holy Spirit to begin to guide you in that. Y'all have a blessed day.
And I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh Lord. And I exalt Yeah.